Okay, so physics one, part one. So you need to know about the three ways in which heat can travel. The first way is infrared radiation. Okay, this is heat traveling as light. It's probably the most complicated of the three, but you need to know that the hotter an object is, the more infrared light it will give out. So you are giving out infrared heat now because you are hotter than your surroundings, and that can be used on a police camera to see your heat signature. That makes sense, especially useful
So
at
like in a
night.
helicopter.
So, like in a helicopter, when they're searching for someone at night, very useful indeed. The darker and the matter, that means not shiny, an object is, the more infrared radiation it gives out. But it also absorbs the most. So, on a hot sunny day, if you are wearing a black t-shirt, then you will feel more of the sun's heat than in a white t-shirt because the black has absorbed the infrared radiation. Whereas a white t-shirt will reflect the sun's heat. That's why it looks white, because it's reflecting all of the colours that we can see. And obviously, a even better than just white surface or colour for reflecting is that of a shiny surface like a mirror. So, light shiny surfaces are good reflectors of infrared radiation and therefore poor absorbers. In addition, light shiny surfaces are poor emitters of infrared radiation. Now that's not so intuitive, but it is the case that the lighter and the shinier an object is, the less infrared radiation it gives out. So in short, if you want something to change temperature, you make it dark and matte. And if it's hotter than its surroundings, it will give out lots of infrared. Or if it's colder than its surroundings, it will absorb lots of infrared. Either way, it changes temperatures. And if you want it to stay the same, then white, or even better, like chrome, then it will not give out much infrared. It will not emit much radio infrared, and it will not absorb much infrared, so it stays the same temperature. So if you want to think of the worst possible bit of design work, that is a bathroom towel radiator that is chromed. That is absolutely ridiculous because it does not radiate out any heat,
So
essentially.
a matte black one is
Would give
best.
out huge amounts of heat. Absolutely. But then, of course, the towel radiator is there to conduct to the towels to evaporate the water off. So it's not about radiation, even though we call it a radiator. Okay.
Oh, actually, on really hot days in like the summer, in how come is like the surface of the car still like really hot even if it's shiny white? Or shiny silver, it's still like really hot.
Well, it will absorb because on a really hot day there is lots of energy, some of which infrared, out there, and it does absorb all of it. I mean, if it's white and not shiny, then while it reflects all the colours, it's not as bright as looking at the sun. So, I mean, it is not reflecting all of the energy, therefore it's absorbing some of the energy. So it will get hot, and on a really hot day, that builds up. And of course, if it's building up slowly, it being shiny and white, it can't lose much heat, so it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. So it's still hot to touch, but it's not losing the heat through infrared, through radiation.
The black one would be hotter
The black
than
one
the white
be
one.
insanely hot.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep.
And obviously every colour in between you've got, and degrees of shininess, you get different ones. So we'll just talk about the extremes, and then hopefully that's easier to remember. Okay. That type of thermal energy transfer is done by light. Okay, so it's not particles, it's an energy wave, just the same as any other colours of light or radio waves, part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Conduction and convection and evaporation and condensation involve particles. And the way we explain heat in terms of particles is the kinetic theory. Basically, the more heat energy an object has, the more kinetic energy its particles have. And so the hotter an object is, the faster its particles are moving or vibrating.
So the more heat energy, the more kinetic energy.
Correct. And then just taking it further, the higher the temperature, the faster the particles. Temperature is the speed, the amount of energy, heat energy, is the amount of kinetic energy, because that also depends on the mass of the particles. And you remember we talked about specific heat capacity? I'll get to that. That will be the bigger the particle, the more energy it needs to get to the same speed, which is its temperature. So basically, things with big particles, massive particles, as in lots of mass, take more energy to heat up to the same temperature of something with a smaller, lighter, less massive particle.
Okay, so it was the higher the temperature, the quicker.
Yes. So temperature equates to speed. Amount of heat energy equates to amount of kinetic energy. Okay. Now, this can be used to explain the difference between a solid, liquid, and gas. When something is in a solid, the particles do not have enough kinetic energy to break the bonds that hold them in the lattice, or the pattern. If you heat them up, then through random collisions, some particles end up with a bit more energy than others, and they can temporarily snap a bond, move, and then remake a bond with something else, with another particle. And in that way, it's flowing.
And that's
a liquid.
When heated.
So when heated, the particles vibrate more to a point at which they can temporarily snap a bond. And therefore, they are not fixed in a particular shape. They're not fixed in a lattice. Heat it further, and the particles are vibrating so much that they can break the bonds that hold them in the liquid completely, and that is a gas, where the particles are spread out lots. So for a given substance, solids have the least energy, liquids the next, and gases have the most energy. Which is why a burn with steam is worse at the same temperature as a burn with liquid, with water.
What if it's like a burn with solid? So like if it's heated metal and you touch the
metal? Because when it melts, you actually can get it at the same temperature, but it has a different amount of energy. I'm sorry, I'm only teaching the basics because you don't need to know the harder stuff. Let's just do liquid and water and steam. At 100 degrees Celsius, you can have water and you can also have steam. But steam has more energy in it at 100 degrees because it's a gas. And therefore, you get a worse burn off the steam than you do the water at the same temperature. Because the particles are moving faster. So if we now look at conduction and convection, that both use particles. Conduction is the collision of particles when a fast-moving particle collides with a slow-moving particle. It shares some of its energy. So the faster one will slow down and the slower one will speed up. And in that way, the heat energy, which is the kinetic energy of the particles, is passed on. And conduction happens the fastest when the particles are the closest together, i.e. in a solid. Because as soon as a particle moves, it essentially bangs into another one. and so the heat is passed on. So when a fast particle hits a slow particle, and the fast particle slows down, and the slow particle speeds up, it's because it has passed on energy. In the kinetic theory, we're thinking of the kinetic energy of the particles, but in macroscopic terms, we're talking about the passing on of heat energy. It's the same thing, just as you zoom in, we change the name of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, also, in a metal, you have free electrons, which you may remember from your chemistry, chemistry 2, that is. They make a metal a far better conductor than another solid, such as wood or plastic, because the free electrons are able to spread the kinetic energy through collisions much faster than the particles, the positive ions in the metal themselves.
So they make metals good conductors because they speed up the
transfer of energy. So the free electrons speed up the transfer of heat energy, thermal energy, and only a metal has free electrons.
Okay.
So that is why metals are better conductors than plastics. Okay, convection then is when particles vibrate more in a fluid, so they take up more space, which makes that bit of fluid less dense, and so floats upon the more dense, cooler liquid. And you get a convection cycle where above the heat source, that's quite important in diagrams, above the heat source, the fluid rises, moves to the side as it's pushed away by new hot fluid coming up, sinks around the sides, and comes back to the heat source and goes round and round and round. The biggest example of which is the wind. When the sun heats a bit of ground through infrared radiation, normally dark ground, if you're a glider pilot, you'd be looking for ploughed fields because they're nice and dark, absorb lots of thermal energy, heat the air above it, and that rises. A glider pilot would call that a thermal, and they can glide up as the hot air goes up. And then, obviously, they can. The wind comes in to take the place of the air that has risen above the field. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And probably won't have to deal with a convection current in quite that size, but that is obviously the biggest. Okay.
There's this, I can't remember what it was, but there was this thing on TV where it was two glider pilots and it was with some mountains and the air coming off the sea hits the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and it carries on going up and down and it mm-hmm. takes out a lot of gliders, but I can't remember what. Do you know what that is? Or?
Well, that's turbulent airflow when it's not on a smooth place because of the mountains. You change the shape the air's travelling in. But you often get a sea breeze or a land breeze, if we just allude again to specific heat capacity. In the daytime, the land heats up much quicker than the water. And so during the day, you have a sea breeze. This is because the air above the land rises and water from the sea, sorry, air from above the sea, which is generally cooler, comes in to take its place. At night, the land loses its heat much quicker because it's got it gets cooler much quicker because it has a lower specific heat capacity, whereas the ocean have kind of stored that heat. So the water above the sea rises, and now we get a sea breeze going from land to the sea. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Evaporation and condensation, in my opinion, are special examples of convection because they involve the movement of particles. Evaporation is when a liquid turns into a gas, and that takes heat energy. We know gases have more heat energy than liquids do, and that takes heat away from the liquid. And this is essentially how sweating helps to cool us down. Condensation is the reverse. Condensation is when a gas is cooled down. Classic example, of course, is breathing onto a window. So the water vapor in your breath touches the cold window and cools down, so it becomes liquid droplets, which we consider it sort of fogging the window up. But that has actually heated the glass up. Because you've cooled down the water vapor, that heat's got to go somewhere, so you've actually heated up the glass. And so convection, evaporation and condensation are a form of thermal energy transfer. So, what affects the rate of evaporation and condensation? Essentially, it is the surface area. So if you think about trying to dry a towel, you'd want to lay the towel out as flat as possible, so no crinkles, because it'll evaporate from the surface. You need to consider the temperature. The hotter it is, clearly, the quicker the evaporation. And thirdly, the airflow.
Is this what affects evaporation?
Evaporation and, conversely, condensation.
The rate of
evaporation and the rate of condensation.
And they are the
surface area, temperature, and airflow.
I thought one of them was the material. Oh, no,
that's not for convection. Not for evaporation and condensation.
What's that for?
Okay, so then the four things that affect thermal energy transfer will be the surface area, the material the object is made from, so is it a conductor of heat or an insulator, the nature of the surface which the object is in contact with. So if you put a metal next to something that's hot, then it can quickly be conducted away. So that's kind of, again, whether it's an insulator or not. We considered the temperature gradient, if you remember. So the bigger the temperature difference, the faster the energy travels. And the fourth one, going back to infrared, is the color. So the darker the surface, the more infrared energy it gives out, so the quicker it will cool down. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Now, if we take that to a practical situation, we're talking about heating and insulating buildings. So a U value measures how effective a material is as an insulator. It is essentially how much energy travels through 1 square meter of a material. Not that you need to know that, but the lower the U value, the better the material is as an insulator. So although here in the specification they say it's effective how material is good an insulator it is, really it's saying how good a conductor it is, because the lower the number, the worse the conductor, and therefore the better the insulator. Solar panels can contain water that is heated by radiation from the sun, and then this water may be used to heat buildings or provide domestic hot water. So domestic hot water, or DHW, is what you get out of your hot water tap. Okay, and of course we can link that back to what we've been talking about. If you want to absorb infrared radiation, what color should your solar panels be?
Matte black.
In reality, solar panels often contain water with a mixture of antifreeze, so that in the winter or at night, the water doesn't freeze and burst all the pipes. And so that water is used to heat other water, which is your hot water or your going into your radiators. Water is an excellent liquid to use in a solar panel because it has a very high specific heat capacity. That is, the amount of energy required to heat 1 kilogram, 1 degree Celsius. And the equation is E for energy equals M for mass times C for specific heat capacity multiplied by temperature change in degrees Celsius. You'll be given that equation on the data sheet, but what you do need to remember are the units. So energy is measured in joules, as it always is, and if you remember my way of remembering that, energy, allergy, mijuli, joules. Mass is measured in kilograms. Temperature change is measured in degrees Celsius. And specific heat capacity is therefore measured in joules per kilogram degrees Celsius.